Well, our correspondent Nicole Johnston joins us now live from Gaza City. Nicole, can you tell us what kind of response there's been from where you are?
The most immediate reaction that we have had is from Hamas. The deposed Palestinian Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh has condemned the action, and he's called on the international community to intervene, including the United Nations. We've also had Islamic Jihad, one of the groups in Gaza, calling for protests for today, for people to get onto the streets, to go down to the harbour, to voice their opposition against the Israeli intervention and the deaths of these activists. So that's been the main response. Earlier this morning, we had some readings from the Quran on the mosques across Gaza City. Again, that was in solidarity for the situation and for the people on board the flotillas.
Nicole, tell us about what people were expecting from this flotilla and how needed were these supplies in Gaza City.
Well, I think the most important thing to remember, first of all, is that people didn't actually know whether this flotilla would make it here. That's been the million-dollar question all week. Would it make it? Would the Israelis let it through? Obviously, Israel has been saying for the last week that there was no chance of this flotilla getting into Gaza. But of course, people always have hope. Yesterday, for example, we met with the head of the Ministry of Health here, and he had quite a lot of goods, medicine, medical equipment and drugs, so he told us, earmarked to go to his ministry on that aid shipment. So that's some of the goods that people were expecting. As we know, there were 10,000 tons of aid. And that sounds like a lot, but really it's only a drop in the ocean. It's a very small amount compared to what Gaza needs. Now, also on the ship, on the flotilla, there is construction material, cement, prefabricated homes, as well as water purification devices. And these are things that are desperately needed in Gaza. People need to rebuild the Gaza Strip after the war with Israel. The United Nations had a report just last week that said three quarters of the damage inflicted on Gaza during the war still hasn't been repaired. So there are still people living in desperate conditions. They haven't had their homes rebuilt. They're living in tents. They have next to nothing. And as the United Nations says, it regards this as a humanitarian crisis. That's something that Israel disagrees with, of course, but that's the situation here.
And there seemed to be much anticipation that if this flotilla arrives, they would get much needed supplies. So I'd imagine that there would be a lot of anger, disappointment on the ground there. And I also understand that there's some plans for protests. Can you tell us more about that?
That's true. Anger, disappointment, and also shock. Shock that up to 10, possibly more, of these international activists have been killed. But aside from the aid that people desperately wanted and were hoping for, it's the feeling that, Gaza is an isolated, trapped place. And the sense that this flotilla may have been able to break through the siege to arrive here at the port in Gaza gave people a sense that perhaps they haven't been forgotten by the international community. Perhaps people haven't forgotten the situation that they're living with here, how dire things really are. So it was really a very symbolic flotilla that had been trying to arrive. It was really about giving an international sense of solidarity with the people of Gaza. And I think that perhaps will be the greatest disappointment.
Nicole Johnston, live for us in Gaza City. Thank you very much. And to sum up our breaking news from Gaza, here is what we know so far. Israeli television is reporting that at least 10 people have been killed on the Mavi Marmara. That's a lead vessel in a flotilla of eight ships heading to Gaza. We're also hearing that at least 30 passengers have been injured. Israeli media is also reporting that a soldier was stabbed in the stomach. Now, the ship was on its way from Cyprus to Gaza when Israeli soldiers boarded the ship. A flotilla organizer says the troops fired live ammunition into the crowds of passengers. And now joining us live from Ramallah is our correspondent, Noor O'Day. Noor, can you tell us what kind of reaction there's been from over there?
Well, it's still about a little bit or half past 8 in the morning here in the West Bank in Palestine. There's still no official reaction yet, but we've already heard from several leading politicians in the political scene here in Palestine condemning what has happened as an act of piracy. As I said, we have not had any official statement released. The media, however, I can tell you here, has nothing but headlines to cover about the flotilla and about the impact this kind of attack on the convoy would have, what it means really from a Palestinian perspective, and how it reflects what Palestinians believe to be Israel's view of outside attempts to help Palestinians in times of need.
No, Nur, it's no secret that the two sides, Gaza and the West Bank, are there has been quite a lot of friction. But what kind of reaction has there been, or anticipation has there been, for this flotilla to come to Gaza City, given that it was very clear that there was a strong Israeli blockade there? Have, on the higher levels, has there been any kind of response to it?
Well, like I said, right now it's really quite early in the morning.
I'm talking about prior to the blockade arriving and coming. Was this something that was accepted and well received?
Well, prior to the blockade, we heard from several ministers. We heard from the Palestinian president himself calling for a lifting of the blockade and calling for support for international efforts to lift the blockade on Gaza. We heard him speak to the heads of state in Indonesia and other places in Southeast Asia about the Gaza blockade. And we've seen senior officials in the rival Fatah faction issue statements before this incident took place in support of the flotilla and of these international activists trying to campaign for an end to the blockade, away from politics, if you will, and away from the current inter-Palestinian division. But and as you said, there is, of course, this rivalry, this split, this division between Fatah and Hamas. But people in the context of Gaza, in the context of the siege, do not distinguish between Fatah and Hamas. The Gaza Strip houses about 1.7 million Palestinians. They belong to all sorts of factions, and in the end, what unites them is the fact that they are Palestinians under occupation. They have family and friends here in the occupied West Bank, so there is no question about solidarity, about the fact that solidarity is very much present here in the West Bank with the people of Gaza, and also with efforts to ease the blockade Israel has imposed on them for over 3 years now.
And Nur, as you're speaking there, we're hearing that Al Jazeera sources are confirming that at least 15 people are now dead. Going forward, especially with, you know, Palestinian-Israeli relations and the U.S. wanting to push forward talks between these two sides, what kind of an impact do you think this is going to have on any possibility of repairing relations?
Well, this will certainly have a very negative impact on the situation as a whole. Public sentiment had already been quite poor. All of these dramatic developments took place. So this gives you an idea, really, of how little faith, how little trust there is between the parties and how the situation, especially now that you will have the public opinion, the Palestinian public opinion, really rallying against any kind of contact with the Israelis, wanting to see the world take a stand against what's happening, what's unraveling right now at sea.
Anur, can you see the Fatah and Hamas possibly now communicating over this issue and possibly trying to repair the friction they've had?
Well, look, 3 years of division and thousands of Palestinians killed and injured and crippled by this siege have yet to bring Hamas and Fatah to unity. But we have recently heard from leaders on both sides talking about how they have both lost because they continue to be divided. So there is a realization that unity is a crucial necessity for Palestinians, for both factions, that neither faction will come out a winner or will be able to achieve anything politically significant for its constituents or its people if this division continues. What this kind of event can do, or how much momentum it can create in terms of bringing Hamas and Fatah together, is a question still to be answered. But certainly these kinds of events usually move people into action, and proposing initiatives. This is what we've seen in the past, to bring these two rivals to the table to achieve really what is an overwhelming public demand here, unity and reconciliation.
You say there's an overwhelming public demand, but politically or diplomatically, how much demand is there for the two sides to have some kind of unity? Is there a will between the leaders on two sides to actually smooth things over?
Well, there are claims that the will exists between from both sides for unity, and we repeatedly hear from leaders from Hamas and Fatah that they believe in unity and that they continue to work to achieve that end. Of course, you cannot measure intentions, you can only measure actions, and there have been several attempts and several meetings held in Arab capitals, especially in Cairo, which is sponsoring reconciliation efforts. We've seen several meetings taking place here in the occupied West Bank between senior Hamas and Fatah leaders, but really the political will, which is tied to so many other developments and so many other regional players, if you will, it requires a lot more than meetings like this. And many observers believe that the situation has not ripened, if you will, that the political circumstances have not reached a point where a reconciliation deal could be signed that will bring Hamas and Fatah together.
Noor Odeh, live for us in the Ramallah. Thank you so much. We'll, of course, try and get you more on this developing story of the flotilla that was intercepted by Israel with deadly consequences, we're now hearing.